The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Real people.
Real opinions.
Real talk radio.
4FM.
Do you think it's important for the President of Ireland to be able to speak Irish? And earlier this week, three potential candidates addressed Water City County Council, asking councillors to nominate them for the presidential election. Senator Joan Freeman, founder of Pieta House, a suicide charity, and businessman Gavin Duffy, and Patrick Feeney. Who's he? Oh, yeah, I know who he is now. All made their cases. Though the council cannot make a nomination as of yet, the Environment Minister must make the ministerial order officially announcing the election first. All three are hoping that they can garner the support of the local authorities to get on the ballot. Now, they might not be the only three. There could be more. Once they announce the election officially, there could be a few more. And the election will most likely happen in October, along with the other referendums that we're planning on seeing too. So to get on the ballot, a person must have the support of four local authorities or 20 members of the Oireachtas. I don't particularly want to talk about the presidential election today, but there was a part of this story that caught my eye and caught my attention. Senator Joan Freeman was unable to respond to a particular question because it was asked in Irish. Pledged to learn the language if it was if she was elected. Now, even if she, fair play to her, she said, if I'm elected, I'll learn to speak Irish. She's only going to be able to speak broken Irish. I mean, realistically, if she gets a crash course in Irish, you know, she's not going to be able to speak it fluently that quickly. So she's not going to be able to speak Irish as quick as she might think she will. It's not an easy language to learn. It's a little bit difficult and it takes a little bit of time and a little bit of patience, obviously, as well. But I want to know if you even think that's important or an important part of being a president of Ireland. Now, as for Gavin Duffy and Michael Feeney or Patrick Feeney, I believe Patrick Feeney does speak Irish. Gavin Duffy, I don't know whether he speaks Irish or not. I'm curious to find out. Now, we did message Gavin Duffy the other day in relation to another issue to try and get him on the show, but we keep putting the long finger all the time, so we don't seem to get any responses back. But I'd be interested if anybody knows Gavin Duffy, if they could text us in and let us know, does he speak Irish? Now, I asked a few people around the office, and while some believe the president should be able to speak the national language, a few people said, well, no, it doesn't really matter. You know, because he's going to be going around to other countries around the world, shaking hands and, you know, encouraging foreign trade. And really, the national language won't be important. He's not going to be speaking, you know, to somebody in China, for example, and speaking Irish. So is it important that the President of Ireland can speak fluent Irish? We know Michael D. Higgins can. He's a great Irish speaker, a wonderful wordsmith. And yeah, we've heard him speak in Irish many times. It's nice. It's quite romantic to hear him speaking Irish. Irish is not our first language, obviously. Only about 6% of the population speak it fluently. And the president will generally speak some Irish at events. But I think the majority of citizens listening don't want to hear him speaking Irish. They want to hear him speaking English. At one point, we had a minister for the Gaeltacht unable to speak the language. I know, that's bizarre, isn't it? A minister for the Gaeltacht unable to speak Irish. Where would you get it only in Ireland? But in any case, so should the president of our country have to speak our native language? Be fluent in our native language. Michael, you're on Classic Kids. How are you, Michael?
Not too bad.
Michael, is it important that the president of the country speaks Irish?
Not in this day and age, no.
No. I mean, are you surprised to hear that, you know, some of these candidates may not speak Irish? I mean, Michael D. Higgins speaks Irish and speaks it quite well, actually.
Yeah, but he's useless, though, in my opinion.
You think he's useless?
Yeah, he can speak Irish, but that's about all he can do.
Well, he's a good wordsmith, isn't he?
Yeah, he doesn't do anything.
Well, but he's the president of Ireland. He's not meant to do very much.
He's not. He was shooed in there by the establishment, and he does what he's told. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't upset the apple cart. He does nothing wrong.
But he's not meant to upset the apple cart. You understand the position of a president of this country, don't you?
Yeah,
he doesn't. He's not allowed.
They're supposed to inspire with speeches. I know it's a token job, like, but they're supposed.
Yeah,
to
it's a figurehead. He's a figurehead.
Yeah,
I mean, the only thing they really do is encourage foreign investment by visiting other countries and shaking hands with people.
Yeah, and look out for Ireland's interests. I don't think he looks out for Ireland's interests. If you look at the state of the country, what has he done for Ireland? Ireland's in bits and he's done nothing. What's he done for Ireland?
And I understand that you believe the president's role in this country probably isn't as good as it should be. But see, when you take, say, something like water charges, abortion or referendums or whatever it happens to be, he's not really allowed to have an opinion. That's not his job. If he has an opinion, he could be turfed out.
Yeah, well, I never necessarily was referring to water charges. I am thinking more internationally and globally as well. I mean, Ireland has been handing over millions and millions to all these charities, and it's coming out of our pockets, and mm-hmm. he's involved in all that kind of stuff. And
well, he's, you know, a socialist,
he's got a very liberal leftist...
Well, he's a socialist.
Exactly, yeah. And I don't
mind you, a champagne socialist, it seems, at this
champagne
stage.
Champagne socialist.
Okay,
exactly.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, and he did say he was only going to do one term of office, but here we are in 2018, and he's requesting that he does another term.
And that's another thing. He's getting paid a fortune, and he's living it up in the Phoenix Park there in that house, and he travels all around the world, staying in the best hotels.
But that's what presidents do.
I know, but I'm paying for it. But so are you.
But what would you rather? He didn't have a president at all then?
No, I'd rather have someone in there like Kevin Sharkey or someone. Somebody speaks a language I can understand.
There's a lot of people might say to you, that's why we have elections, of course, sure, Kevin Sharkey's useless, I'd rather have Michael D. Higgins. So, you know, it depends on what you like or what your interests are.
That's what we vote, though, isn't it?
Absolutely. But by that token, I wouldn't say that Michael D. is a waste of money and Kevin Sharkey wouldn't be.
Well...
By the way, I haven't heard from Kevin Sharkey all week. I haven't heard about Kevin Sharkey. I know the three candidates down there, you know, last week looking for nominations. I didn't hear Kevin Sharkey down there.
He doesn't have the money or the people behind him. That's the sad thing. But
mm-hmm.
The other lad, Higgins, has the whole establishment behind him. They want him in there. Like, so.
Okay, well, what about these other three? You've got Patrick Feeney now, Joan Freeman and Gavin Duffy. Now, I don't know who can speak Irish amongst them, but I know Joan Freeman doesn't because she couldn't respond to a question in Irish.
well, look, I mean, it's how you handle yourself. It's what...
Out of those three people, are you familiar with those three people?
Not really, no.
Okay, you'd be familiar with Gavin Duffy from the television, I suppose.
Yeah.
The Dragon's Den.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's a businessman, so I suppose he could...
Encourage investment.
But is he going to look out for Ireland's interests, or is he just going
to... I would imagine he his mantra would be that he would be looking out for Ireland's Ireland's interests.
I know, but they also, yeah, but you know, politicians and all those, they always say they're going to do this, that, and the other. None of them ever do. Like, you know what I mean? But I mean, so,
Donald Trump did.
Well, yeah, he's a rare exception. He wasn't a politician, though. He was a bit of proper
businessman. Well, there you go, yeah. Gavin Duffy's a businessman, man. Maybe he'll do the same thing.
Yeah, but you'd have to look at what Gavin Duffy's saying now.
His policies.
Yeah. Up until now, like, is it about the people? Is it about...
Well, I don't know. He hasn't really said very much yet, to be honest. It's only the starting stages, so they're only out of the traps, so to speak.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We'll have to wait and see. Okay, but you don't think it's important that they speak Irish? Generally?
But he's going to be speaking in English around the world to all these other businesses and dignitaries and corporations and this, that and the other. So, yeah.
No, okay. Okay, well, stay there, because Tony...
Hello.
Hi, Tony. You believe it is important?
Oh, I think the number one citizen of this country should be speaking Irish, yeah.
Mm.
As a representative of Ireland, whether it's male or female.
But where are they going to be speaking this Irish? Because generally what we need
I have seen in the past where the Irish president would visit one country or another, and the hosts of that country would go out of their way to learn a few phrases in Irish and they'd do a bit of a speak. And wouldn't it be very embarrassing if our president didn't have a clue what they were saying?
Well, maybe a little bit embarrassing, all right. Well, they might.
That's where I'm coming from.
Well, maybe the likes of Joan Freeman and Gavin Duffy and Patrick Feeney, I don't know whether they do speak Irish or not. Maybe they should have a basic understanding of it.
I think it's important, Niall. And I do agree with you when you say champagne socialist.
Mm-hmm.
We say down this part of the world, we say armchair socialist.
Well, you can't be a socialist and living in the life of luxury.
No, he's not. He's under the banner of socialism. But to me, it's a kind of fake.
Right, okay.
Like, I mean, we have a Department of Foreign Affairs, and they could fill the role of president, no problem.
I mean, do we need a president?
No, we probably don't. As I say, the Department of Foreign Affairs, somebody from there, train somebody up that would be good at speaking and that.
Yeah.
But
and send them as a representative if we ever need to send somebody.
A man or woman in Norris costing that amount of cash, like, in this day and age, no.
Hmm. I mean, I know Michael D. Higgins, you know, has, like any president, has cost the state a substantial amount of money over the last 7 years. And that figure is growing and growing and growing.
Yeah.
It's getting more expensive.
It is.
And I suppose Michael has a point. What does he actually do? Probably not a lot.
That's it. As I said.
I mean, looks good. Looks nice. Says nice things. But really, what does he do?
We don't need a president. Somebody to represent us in foreign affairs. But you can call him what you like. But all that arse and oak and all the cash and everything that goes.
Oh, that's costing a fortune. I mean, to secure it, to maintain it. But mind you, even if he's gone, they still have to maintain it anyway because it's a historic building.
Well, yeah.
You know, it would have a preservation order.
You don't maintain it with lavish parties and flinging money left, right and centre, you know.
Yeah. No, well,
that's what I'm thinking anyway.
But I don't know if Michael E. Higgins is having lavish parties or anything.
Well, they do. They have guests in from abroad and dignitaries from all over the world. And some will say that like it's all in the interest of promoting Irish goods and you know and that. But I have to say no. Foreign Affairs, Department of Foreign Affairs could deal with all that.
I don't see why the President of Ireland should have to be paid so much money. I would agree with both of you on that. I mean, the President of Ireland is almost getting as much as the American
another
President.
Another 7 years. Of course he wants another 7 years. I'd love another 7 years of that myself.
I wouldn't mind him. It
would be all right, wouldn't it? Half of it, I'd take.
I would, wouldn't it? To be driven everywhere. Everything is basically free because no matter where you go, you're going to get your dinner for nothing, right? So you'd be fed for free, driven everywhere, brought around on private jets wherever you want to go. You can sit down and watch the telly at night, and every bean that you get, you can save because you've no expenses.
I know that at one of the water protests, somebody got into trouble for shouting leech or some words to that effect. But like you could see where that person was coming from because it's a leech and off of the taxpayer.
By the way, does the president tax free? Just a question. I don't know the answer to
that. I'm not sure about that now. I'd say probably, though. No, in this country, he probably is.
I'm just wondering, is the president pay tax? I got Lena to check that during the break. You can text us at 53544. Okay, Michael believes it's not even necessary to have a president, but certainly he wouldn't be voting for Michael D. Higgins again anyway. He doesn't sound like he gets on with the man at all. Tony also believes it's a complete waste of money and it should go to the Department of Foreign Affairs and we can send a representative abroad, you know, if we need to encourage a foreign investment. But I'm asking you the question I actually asked was, do you believe it's important that this president speaks Irish? At Mihal. Whatever that means, fair play to you. What's it like in Cork at the moment? Is the sun shining or is the rain pouring?
I'm coming up for me here. I'm just coming up heading on for a half course here.
Oh, are you?
The sun is shining here at the minute. Not shining, it's overcast. But
what are you doing in Dublin, by the way?
I work 99% of my work is in Dublin.
And do you have to go to immigration?
Pardon? Yeah, sorry?
Do you have to go to immigration and produce your passport?
Oh, yeah, come in and make sure I have no foot and mouth disease. You can't come in from Galway if you're not clear. Oh, no.
All right, Michal. I mean, is it important that the president speaks Irish?
It's exceptionally important that the president of any country, I don't care whether it be from the Netherlands, the Belgians, the French, they all speak their own Irish language and they speak it fluently without any make-up in it. My Irish, no point talking Irish to you. If you listen to Michael D. Higgins, or another man exceptionally fluent, it's like music, the pronunciation that they have because they are original Irish speakers.
Michael D. Higgins, or Michael D. Higgins, he does speak exceptional Irish. He does,
and Micheál Murrohart, there's a few of them there, but there's a gentleman went for the presidency there 2 years ago when he was trying his hand at it, but he got off the show rather particularly because of donations, and he tried to learn a bit of Irish, but it comes across like shit if it
Of course, it's broken Irish, yeah, broken Irish.
Broken Irish, I call it bastardised English, if it'll excuse my expression.
Right,
that's how I call it.
So, yeah, this all started, of course, because Joan Freeman, when she was down at the council meeting, this is where they have to be nominated, of course, was asked a question in Irish and she couldn't respond. But she did say if she became president, she would, you know, make an attempt to learn Irish.
No. When you're 20, 50 or 6 years old, same as myself, you don't learn to walk. You're either born with it or you have it. There's no point in trying to learn it, especially...
You're right. I agree with you, Michal.
The horse is gone.
Absolutely. Because even if I learn to speak Irish tomorrow, I'm still not going to sound like an Irish speaker, am I?
No. I keep my Irish every day of my life. For a long, long number of years, I'd hate to tell you how many, I keep a diary written in Irish, and I use the original alphabet, the F's, the G's, the T's. It's original. And if I ask Michael D. or me a lot of my heart today, my baby, conscious that they will write the exact same as I do. There is the English alphabet today is used to write the Irish language. You try that in Chinese and see how you fare out.
And can you give us a poem or something in Irish there? Just because I love the way you speak it, Michal.
Yeah.
You speak it with passion.
Did you say your prayers in Irish? Sure, the better were all on the grass, the Tanchini let the Spenny of Harm and all, the Spenny had turned to Venisa. And the answer is that it's an evil award you give on the Pecking Ishagas or Washerman. That is your normal Hail Mary in Irish.
All right, okay.
Yeah, and now I'm not going to ask you to repeat that. But
I won't be repeating it, Micheál.
Mr. Astor and Phil along Dorcas, the score, they're all there in Irish. I grew up with these.
Okay, but getting back to our president, I mean, realistically, he doesn't have that many opportunities. Now, I know he does when he addresses the citizens. He will speak a little bit of Irish and then he'll speak English because, you know, 94% of us want to hear him speak in English.
Yeah. Because this is true. The necessity to speak on an everyday basis, like, it is not there. But when he gets the chance, and if you go to, might be not pretty, the meetings and the presentations, etc., that he was at, and he does converse quite an amount to Irish, exceptionally fluent. It's like music. It's like themselves now, Emil O'Mara or Hurtig have been the same basis, and to me, they are 100 out of 100. And anything else is down from them.
So I'm assuming, Micheál, you'll be giving Michael D. Higgins your first vote again.
I'm 100% understanding, and Sabina, I knew his wife before he knew her. But the point is, they're two lovely, lovely people. You couldn't.
I'm not doubting that for a minute. But he did say he was only going to do one term of office.
We all say these things. I mean,
it's a handy, Micheál, you have to admit, it's a handy number.
When you started your line of business there, giving out to the public and allowing me in to call out the public, I'm sure you didn't think you'd be this number of years at it and doing so well as you're doing. But the point is, these things change. So I can say to you today, make all the promise in the world, and in 6 months' time I say, oh, sweet God, oh no, I shouldn't have made that promise. He is doing such a good job, such an outstanding. There's nobody in the world shouldn't even be allowed to challenge him. And I think that even Sinn Féin put up their hands and said, we're to say, oh, we're going to launch on a candidate, they should have got a kick up the bum. And I hope they don't get any votes. And I hope nobody else does either. There's only one true president. He's the guy that's in. He's the most capable man. And
okay, but he's a nice man. Now, but Micheál, we have to, you know, be honest with ourselves. You know, if he does another term of office, he's going to end up in his 80s, right?
Now, who the hell cares?
I know, but hang on, Micheál. Give me a break. I don't want to come across as being ageist here, right? But what I'm saying to you is, you've got a young buck like Gavin Duffy. When I say young, reasonably.
No, a young buck. Well, thank you for that hard terminology. Young buck down in Waterford in the Orbis Intacta. And that's a man I met on a few times too. There's none of them I don't know. I've met them all. But the point about it is, no, I know it's any particular time for Gavin Duffy. And that's his business or my business.
But he's a good businessman.
He's a good businessman, and so is Donald Trump. And look at the balls he's making of America and the rest of the world. He was a great businessman.
With the greatest respect, I'm not a huge fan of Donald Trump, but you can't turn around and say he's making the balls of America. Because he's not. Micheál, now you have to be fair and give credit where it's due. You might not like Donald Trump, but America is now enjoying probably the best economy it's had in 30 or 40 years.
It has, and it has the greatest enemies it ever had in probably 100 years. But we don't know about his economy. There are figures coming out from the States. Where do we see the true economy at the end of the year, and we see how the States have fared out at the end of the year? Anybody can give it a monthly or a three monthly, or this is what it was this month, and that's what it is. Take our own economy for the present at the present minute. We're in the biggest debt this month gone than we've been in since donkey's years.
Okay, well, hang on. We have to put things into perspective, obviously, as well. Stay there for a second, Micheál. Okay, stay there, please. Yeah. Because John O'Dea, speaking for the nation of Cork this morning, the city of Cork.
You always get me into trouble when you say that.
I know. Sorry, you're the Cork spokesperson.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so I know people will text in now and say, he doesn't speak for me.
I know. Yeah,
but John, I mean, you, Micheál, you've heard him saying there, you know, that it's important that the president has not just Irish, but speaks it fluently.
Just before I get to that, I mean, his views on Trump, I totally disagree with. I watched him a while ago. He attacked the media again. He's right. He's in everyone's face. He's a different president. He will be elected again. America's on the up. He's dealt with Kim Jong-un. He's dealt with Vladimir Putin. But he's dealt in a way as a businessman would deal with, not as a politician. And that's what people can't get their effing head around.
Well, he's keeping his promises.
Is.
Which is very unusual for any politician.
No, as regards this person that you're on the line, you're eulogising...
Micheál, yeah.
No, he does not keep his promises. He backtracks immediately, as he did with North Korea. And then he says, oh, the wording came out wrong. I should have said...
Micheál, I'm not going to get into North Korea, but I have to say, you know, we now have a suggestion on aerial photographs and satellite photographs show that the North Koreans are now denuclearising, which means that Donald Trump seems to have done his job, which is historical in itself.
Maybe Micheál wants to go back to the Cold War.
The present minute is another area from where they had been using it. Oh, they need to shift the location.
Can we get back to Trump? Hold on, President.
Okay, get back to our own president again if we can. Yes, sir. Well, hang on, Michal. Hang on, Michal. Let's get back to our own president. So you're saying Michal is eulogising, yeah?
He is, yeah, for the simple reason. Look, the office of president, compared to the likes of America and anywhere else, right, is ceremonial, it's diplomatic, right? All Michael D does is go around cutting ribbons and smelling paint. There's no power in that job, right? And as regards what his views there, that you must have the Irish language to be president. That, how could that be democratic? So that means unless you're a fluent Irish speaker, you can't stand for to be president.
So, only, the role only applies to 6% of the population.
Yeah, I mean, that's outrageous, like you mean. How could he class himself as being a Democrat, right? Let's be honest, like, that is absolute insane.
Fair point, Michal.
And as a guarantee of this language, right?
Hang on. Let him respond to that. Let him respond to that point, John. John makes the point that, you know, if we to have a democratic election and if everybody's to have an opportunity to be a president of a country, and certainly our president is only a ceremonial position anyway, I mean, only 6% would qualify, according to your theory, Michal.
No, hold on a second. I'd be like Donald Trump now. You're rephrasing the word totally wrong. My suggestion to you is that a president should be able to speak fluent Irish. The Chinese are speaking Irish. You don't hear them or don't speak Irish to speak Chinese. You don't hear them speaking English or French or that to speak their native Chinese. The French president, he has quite good English, but he's speaking French.
Then.
Now, 6% of our country speak Irish. I disagree with that. There's over 30% of our country can converse in fairly good Irish.
And yeah, we're talking about fluent Irish here.
Yeah, well, he's fluent Irish, yes. The suggestions are that
unless you're a fluent Irish speaker, you can't run to be president of this country.
Mm.
That's what he's proposing.
He's ruling out 94% of the population.
He is, yeah.
I'm not ruling him out. I can go ahead and vote for it. But the point is, I'm not saying they should be barred from going for the office of president or for any other office either, let it be public or otherwise. They can go for any office they like. But the point is, it requires...
But you just made a statement while ago that if you live in Irish in later life, that you'll never be fluent.
Yeah. Oh, I did not make that statement. No, hold on there. You're from the rebel county. We'll take that point on board.
You did say that, Michal. You said you can't learn to walk at 50.
You can't learn to walk is bang on. Learn to walk at 50. Yes, you can learn it and you can carry on in it and you have the long pronunciation for everything. You're using an English language to write Irish language.
Isn't it amazing, like, right up to 2018, like, I mean, how long has Irish been taught in the schools now? And still, there's no great graph for it there. People are not speaking it. You sent a reporter out on the street now this minute, you'd find it very hard to get a fluent Irish speaker.
Well, I'm involved in a very public line of business, and believe you me, if I tell you something, that's never a day goes by, even today, where I was, I'm not going to tell you where I was, but I was in a public body, and I spoke Irish to two or three different people, and the land of my life, they spoke fluent Irish back to me.
All the business transactions that are done on a daily basis in this country, and the people representing us in Europe and everywhere else, they're not engaging in Irish.
Hold on a minute. Irish, excuse me, is a recognised language in Brussels. And get your facts right on that one. And there is Irish.
The fact is that people are not speaking it. They're not picking up on it, right? Still today in the schools, people are coming out and they're not speaking Irish.
I couldn't even tell you who the Minister for Foreign Affairs at the moment, but Charlie Flanagan, when he was Minister for Foreign Affairs, Michal, and he conducted his business in Europe, wasn't speaking Irish.
Yeah, no? You go down to Tyler, go down to Mathai. But some of the state-of-the-art schools are in it, and they will come out of there in the evening, and the wheels carry on.
Nobody's denying that, but all that John is saying is when the president goes abroad, you know, to deal with foreign investment or to encourage foreign investment in this country, you know, the majority of people that he's going to speak to are going to be foreign. They'll be speaking their own language. They might have an interpreter with them. But the universal language to communicate is English. I'm not saying that. That's a fact.
Everybody else uses their own language, and they have to have interpreters. But we should be entitled to the same. We don't have the same volume of our percentage, maybe up to 20 million.
When Donald Trump goes to any other country, right, he speaks English as an American, right? He doesn't speak as a native American Indian.
He's not speaking Navajo.
I
haven't heard a Native American saying how in years. Stay there for a second, John and Michal. Maybe there was a great TV programme called How years ago. Grace, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Grace?
Hi.
How you doing, Grace? Good
I'm
to speak to you again.
I'm going to do a little ditty from the first president of Ireland, Douglas Dehiga.
Right.
And he was talking about the place where he was born. Bacumalum sa farabe, Bacumalum an danam lon. Murray hanid vi murray, Mortron Tlevic Dolifon, Is Nira Rutherbisadan, Knock Nini, Domawalame, Malayan, Malayan, Come Mary Hogue, if in loud as Hogue at me. Now, those that script is on
her. Sounds lovely, but I've no idea what you just said, Grace, but it sounds lovely.
Well, you should.
That's your wrong. He's a Gafadi.
Sorry, say that again, Michal.
Right. Listen, that script that was first written by our first president, Douglas DeHart.
But do you understand, both of you, and with the greatest respect, Grace, to you and to Michal, right? The majority of our listeners listening today have no idea what you're talking about.
Because there's no interest in it. Let's put it this way. It's not a ceremonial office. It's a constitutional office. It was left open for citizens. Incidentally, if Justice Lafoy is listening, I'd love to know how this Citizens' Assembly was instigated in the first place. It didn't have my approval or most of the citizens of Ireland's approval.
Yeah, I was never so asked about it either.
Yeah, that should be gone into, definitely. It's up for new renewal now. The same people won't be on it, thank God. But anyhow, the point is, at the end of the day, it is constitutional office. It's left open to any citizen. That means you cannot have the Irish language as an imperative. It would be a great bonus if we had it as a national language. It's our first language. All legislation is instituted from and originate from our first language, the Irish language. And every advisor to the president, for that matter, the government and to the ministers, should have fluent Irish. It's our first language.
So we had a minister for the Gaeltacht who didn't even speak Irish.
Well, that's a shame on us.
Well, I would agree with you, by the way, because it's bizarre.
I would challenge any of our aspirants now who are going forward as president to give me, on air, on any station, digital or otherwise, the full national anthem from not Shaheev Accord, from the beginning. Shaheev Accord, not Sinn Féin Fáil, Shaheev Accord do no glee. Right through the end, we all seem to be suffering just from the chorus. We do not get the full national anthem. We get the presidential anthem and we get the chorus of the national anthem. And it belittles our nationality. And it's time now that the powers that be in office constitute proper reverence to our language. Incidentally, there are hundreds of Gaelscoils all over the place. I'm near one here and I go up to the Christmas dramas every year. A lot of them, I go around the country listening to. And the Irish is excellent. You should hear the young children of today speaking Irish. Their parents don't speak it, and they don't speak it at home. But the children coming out of the school and in the playground are excellent. And it's time now that we give some acknowledgement to our language. And I will not accept or give my approval for anybody who hasn't got the language or the knowledge of our full national anthem. Yeah. I won't vote.
Expressing my sentiments. I'm delighted to hear. I couldn't express that better myself than that lady is expressing there.
You are not a Democrat.
You go to a tie, you go up
to
the Irish schools. It's brilliant.
Sorry, John, what are you trying to say?
I say this lady as well. No, she doesn't believe in democracy either because she wouldn't give a vote just because any candidate that can't speak Irish going to be for the presidential race. According to her,
well, she is a Democrat because she believes in democracy. It's just that that's her preference, just like she believes in your democratic vote to give your preference.
But again, she's ruling out people, just like the other man that's on.
She's not, because she said, of course, the office of president means that you don't have to speak Irish. But she said her preference would be somebody who speaks Irish.
Yes, the 100%. Yeah, she
she's entitled to say that. That's democracy.
She also said she won't vote.
No, she said she wouldn't.
Too.
This is for the man that came on first. I certainly won't be voting.
I can vote if I want to. If I want to abstain, I can abstain.
That's her democratic right.
My antecedents passed to me freedom of this country. My antecedents died for freedom of this country. And I will not be dictated to by any political party or, for that matter, interested parties how I should or shouldn't vote or vote at all.
No.
Yeah, sorry, John.
Yeah, just pick up a point there that was made for the first caller there. This whole thing that, Michael D. Armas should be canonised, that he should, look, the man said he was only going to run once. He has broken his promise. He'd be 84 years of age by the time he does a second term. I mean, what 77-year-old like him, he would get a chance like he will to stay in a 5-star nursing home where everything he needs, all his needs would be attended to, because that's what's going to happen.
Oh, well,
can I get in there, Niall?
You can indeed, yeah.
You know, I'm not giving my approval for Michael D. I think Michael D overstepped the line on several occasions listening to him on foreign affairs. But my point is, an Irish speaker in a constitutional office, understanding the constitutionality of our legislation and the advisers who give it to him or her.
Okay, well, sorry, stay there because Joe, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Joe?
Oh, hang on, I need to turn you on, Joe, as they say.
I don't mean that biblically, by the way. Sorry, Joe.
All right.
Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, listen, to be honest, the whole office of the Irish president is irrelevant, really. You know, what does he do? Not a whole lot. Look, the Irish language, to be honest, unless you go learn it, you're not going to bother speaking it. If, you know, it's a precondition that the president of Ireland should speak Irish, who's he going to speak it
to?
Me.
To the people.
No, he's not, because the people don't understand.
Well, he does. When he goes around the country, he flings out a bit of Irish, usually at the start of his speech.
What good is that, you know?
Hang on, with a bit of respect, to people like Micheál and Grace, who, you know, hold the Irish language dearly to them it's important.
Okay, but they're a minority.
They are a minority, yes.
Minority should be inclusive.
But shouldn't the president act basically, to the majority?
No, he should act under law for the common good. That includes all of our
people.
Well,
basically, the common good usually does reflect what the majority thinks.
Not necessarily. The common good doesn't go to the polls. Half of the common good go to the polls, and half of that quarter, or one third of that common good, vote for political parties. Listen, don't give me that crap.
So basically, hang on a minute, common good, you're talking about common good. You broke common good into three different categories, right? You told me not to be talking crap. So basically, man, to be honest, I think you're the one talking crap. Because basically, if you have a guy who's speaking a language that no one understands, and you go, I heard you saying it was our first language. No, it's not. English is our first language.
No,
it's our
native language. Irish is our first language, unless we remove from the Constitution. Irish is our first language.
Whether you like it or not, right?
Why have we translations better than politicians? Why have we
such great... Okay, I can only hear one at a time. Just let Joe finish what he wants to say, and I'll let you respond to it, Grace. Sorry, Joe.
Okay, so
you believe it's not our first language. Well, I would say it's our native language.
What language were you born speaking,
Well, was I born speaking?
Yeah.
English.
Okay. What was your dad born speaking? The same.
English.
Your granddad, the same.
Well, I don't know about my granddad, but English, yeah.
Well, I'd say he would have been from Dublin, basically, what I call it. In fact, you know what I mean? If you go to a lot of the country, the major...
I think my grandfather, obviously I'm adopted, so I'm talking about my adoptive parents.
Yeah.
My adoptive grandfather was probably from Monaghan, from what I believe.
Well, he wouldn't have spoken it.
Yes, I definitely know.
How do you know?
Unless he was a Republican.
Okay, this claim that it's our first language is nonsense, to be honest. But, you know, I've nothing against basically people who want to speak Irish. Let them at it. I wish them the best of luck. But to expect the rest of the population to learn a language which is, by and large, and this, as I say, I'm not knocking it, is irrelevant in our world. I think it's a bit of a chore, because to learn the language and to learn it fluently is not as easy as you think. You're talking about a whole lot of things you've got to take into consideration, like your woman Grace and your man Micheál. Well, I'd know about, they sound as if they know a fair amount of it, but
they do.
How many people could they talk to in depth?
Well, that's they can talk to 6% of the population.
Can I speak in there now?
Yeah, sorry. Well, maybe if you could refer to the point that Joe made, Grace, where the language has become, I suppose, almost irrelevant to the point that it's not needed.
But what made it irrelevant? Irrelevant meant that it was taken wrongly from its original basis, which is the Irish language. All legislation is based on our constitution. Our constitution...
Hang on, Joe. Let her finish what you... No. I allowed you to finish, Joe.
The Irish version, the version of the language, not even a version, but the English version taken from the Irish language emanates solely into our legislative process. In other words, our legislation, all its cohorts, including our parliaments of the day, all its politicians and senators, are obligated under our constitution to look after the common good. And the common good, in this instance, the English language, comes from the Irish language.
But I would challenge that, Grace, and say that I would imagine the majority of legislation being written in the last 20 years, certainly, has been written in English and translated to Irish.
Quite wrong. They have to. Goom will tell you that. They have to. That's why we have such
maybe
great linguists in this country.
Can I
we have great linguists in this country who can perform in the Irish language at any station or any situation or job better than any politician, or for that matter, better than any president. And shame on us.
Yeah, sorry, Joe.
How many of your Joe soaps out there in the street are going to take up, go to the trouble of learning another language just because it's written down in some
piece
of paper?
We're not talking about learning a language. You're talking about voting for a president.
No one
cares. We're not talking about learning a language. We're not talking about how he or she speaks. We're talking about the significance of the office.
It was law and legislation, and basically how the language is a piece of legislation. Now, legislation can be changed through referendum.
But can I ask you, just very quickly before we go into the break, is it not important that the first citizen, as they call it, of the country, the main man, the president of the country, although it doesn't have a huge amount of power, we all know that, is more of a figurehead, can we not accept that it is important when he goes abroad, you know, to be it to China or France or wherever it is, that he has some knowledge of the Irish language in case some other president has gone to the trouble, as Michal rightly pointed out earlier on, of learning a bit of the language? It'd be a bit embarrassing if he didn't speak his own language, wouldn't it?
Can I ask you a question, right? How much Welsh does the royal family speak?
Probably none.
We're talking about
exactly
the Irish.
How much?
We're talking about constitutional law here.
Don't interrupt, please.
You're making comparisons.
How much Scots Gaelic do you reckon the Queen speaks, Niall?
Probably none.
Exactly. Manx the same, and probably what I...
But she speaks English.
She does, yeah. But
which is the common language of Britain.
But she doesn't speak Cornish, and English is the common language.
Now, Joe, you might as well be saying that the president should have a Cork accent or a Limerick accent or a Galway accent.
As many people speak Welsh in the UK as people speak Irish.
I'm looking here now. Gaelic is our native language. We should all be fluent in it. But we can't speak Irish because of the Brits. The Brits had nothing to do with me not speaking Irish. Nobody told me I shouldn't speak it. By the way, somebody sent us a message on Facebook from Wales. Says, I'm Welsh. And agree totally with that lady. Welsh also is the national language of Wales. And the members of the Welsh Assembly would be fluent. Should be proud of their language. Whereas the 6% of the population might be from the Gaeltacht. However, every primary teacher has to have a good standard of Irish. Up until recently, Gardaí had to speak Irish. If you add all these in, the 6% rises dramatically. Now, we're talking about fluent speakers. Actually, it's a smaller amount if you take into consideration the amount of people who speak it in their daily lives. I believe the figure is actually 12,000 people, which is a very small percentage of the population of the country, who don't speak English and only speak Irish. I didn't want to get into an Irish-English argument today. Somebody else says, fair play to Niall for having Grace on your show again. She brings a level of intelligence to your show. Thanks for that. All right. So what are you saying? The show lacks intelligence unless Grace is on it. I might agree with you, to be honest with you.
Not at all.
Let me go to James. James.
Good afternoon, Niall. How are you?
Good afternoon to you, James.
I was just going to show you how popular the Niall Boyle show. They're listening over in Wales.
Oh, they're listening in Wales as well, yeah.
Listening in the valleys, Niall.
I want to try and get that young lady on, or I don't know what age she is, but to give us the name of that town. You know that town in Wales with a really long name?
There's one called Pontypridd. I know a lot about Wales because I used to go a lot when I was younger and I was going fishing
it
there. It's lovely fishing.
You up to something.
Yeah, and it ends in go, go, go.
Yeah, I think there was a mining accident there many, many decades ago. A huge mining accident. The town was destroyed.
Now Helena has put the spelling of it up in front of me. And Helena, I don't think I'm going to attempt this.
Don't even try it, Niall.
I could. What do you say? Okay, it starts off with L-L-A-N, which is Lanfer Pugwellen Le Gogogor We Chwer Indurel and... Silo, go, go, go.
It's not the mining.
No, that's not the one. And I'm insulting the Welsh people here by even attempting it. Yeah, I think I'll just leave that aside. James, getting back to the Irish president, should he be able to speak Irish?
Well, but I nail my colours for the mass now. I'm a huge fan of Gavin Duffy's.
Who's making coffee, by the way?
Oh, I am. Sorry.
That's okay.
Good morning, Joe.
Well done to you, Joe. All right, sorry, you're a huge fan of Gavin Duffy.
Oh,
yeah?
Yes, I think he'd be brilliant now.
Now, does Gavin Duffy speak Irish?
I some knowledge that he would have a working knowledge of it, Niall. I'm not sure now whether he'd be fluent or not. As you remember, we say the last three Taoiseachs we had, and they're called the Taoiseachs, you know, in Irish. Bertie always admitted he wasn't fluent, but he had a working knowledge now. Enda was fluent completely, and Leona would be even less than Bertie. But these people like Bertie, they could make speeches, we'll say now, at appropriate places like the 1916 commemorations, and he could read a speech and get away with it. But the yeah, idea to be obligatory, no, Niall, even though I like the Irish language, Michael D. Higgins, vehemently opposed to Michael D. Higgins, Niall.
Right.
So am I.
Because, as you know, Niall, you've spoken to me often enough now to know what side of the political fence I would come from.
Yes.
And it would not be from where the
socialist
Michael D.
point of view.
Come from.
No, no.
Any man Niall, that worshipped at the altar of Fidel Castro is not going to be have me as a fan, Niall.
You're here.
Right, okay. So,
a man who's supposed to be a Democrat who actually wept, Niall, when he was talking about Fidel Castro when he died. And then he went down on a special visit to Cuba to lay a wreath at his grave. A man who
but I know that was an unpopular decision. I mean, look, okay, that was obviously his personal view, and I know for many people that was a very unpopular decision for the president to make. But in saying that, you know, he did it, and that was what
he
wanted.
We met Gorbachev. Doesn't one of our presidents meet Gorbachev somewhere down in Limerick or Tipperary or somewhere? Before the cold.
Am I right in thinking, war. Joe will remember this, Joe, didn't De Valera meet Hitler?
Yes.
Oh, that bastard.
What, please? Thank you. Daytime radio. Thank you very much.
Excuse my language. No, he never met Hitler, but he did. He did actually. You see, the thing about De Valera at the time, right? De Valera had an awful thing in his head, and he said, "What if Germany won the war?" I think Hitler was basically trying to. De Valera was trying to play two sides of the coin, in which he had very little choice, if you ask me. But
and didn't Hitler's brother marry an Irish woman?
Yeah, Sean Hitler, there was stories about that. But no, De Valera went and he signed the book of condolences at the German embassy when Hitler died.
Mm, that's right, yeah.
Or when he went to South America, whichever you prefer.
Mm. All right, okay, sorry. So getting back to the language, James, you don't think it's... You think it's important that people speak Irish, but you don't think it should be important for the president to know it.
Now, Niall, whether we like it or not, I wouldn't be a particular fan of multiculturalism, but we have a multicultural Ireland now. We have an awful lot of different nationalities who are citizens of this country, and there must be a president for all of those citizens as well.
Joe, go ahead.
Wait a minute. What I call it, you alluded to proof of the pudding was there. So look, I remember him in the early 1980s. And if you remember these party political broadcasts, Michael D would be there calling everyone comrades and talking about all this socialist and communist nonsense. Now, years later, we have a bloke like that, what I call it, as president of the country. Now, what if at the time, he was gone on about Irish purity and all this, and the same thing as the Nazis did. Do you think 30 years' time we would have that guy as president? I think it's a bloody disgrace because of his political pedigree that we have him up there at all.
Okay, well, everybody had an option to vote for at the time. Well, we live in a democratic society, Joe, and people all have an opinion on him, and you all had an opportunity to vote in the last election.
Just one thing now.
Is you have an opportunity to vote in the next one. Sorry, yeah, go ahead.
One thing now.
Hang on, Joe.
In fairness now, Michael Diggis had a very good innings now. He said, what about 35 years on the dial?
Yeah.
7 years as president?
Nice pension.
I mean, there is a time now... To step off the stage now.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. On that note, listen, I'm going to have to wrap it up. Grace, thank you very much for gracing us with your presence. Right. Oh, before I go, actually, I have something here that I can play. Hang on for a second now. Now, hang on, let me just get rid of that anthem first, of the Celtic tenors. We don't want to hear them. All right, but here is the town in Wales. This is how you pronounce it. There you go. Whatever she said, I completely agree.
Go, go, go.
Thank you very much, Grace. Thanks, James, and thanks, Joe.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Real people.
Real opinions.
Real talk radio. 4F.